Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today. We have a fascinating guest today. I love the fact that we get to talk to so many different interesting and fascinating people. Today, it's one of those for sure. Our guest is Andre Lamar Henry. You may not have heard his name. Maybe you have. And if you have, hey, you know all about him. Anyway, he has made a name for himself in a number of different categories. First off, he became an accountant. Then he served as a loan officer and a pretty savvy investment advisor. Then as a member of the Forbes Culture Council and a nominee for their 30 Under 30 Award, which is quite prestigious, to say the least. And he's also the founder of his own business and a NASDAQ mentor. Now, that's all pretty prestigious for a young man whose beginning in life was quite different. Let's tell you a little bit about how things began for him and what he's doing now. After a tragic roadway accident that took the life of his mother, at the age of 8, Andre was an orphan. Today, he is a renowned, successful financial genius. He's been referred to that. He's also referred to as a millionaire, and he doesn't mind admitting it because he wrote a book about it called From Orphan to Self-Made Millionaire. He says it was a therapeutic tool for his growth, and it talks about his pain points, how he released his pent-up feelings and got clear on his vision, which led him to found his own company and then launch his own comic book series, the very first silent comic book series called Dream Again Comics. And I must tell you, he is an extraordinary artist. If you look at his comic books on his website, and you should do that, it really is. It's amazing what he does. In any event, his company, he named it called Dream Again the Legacy after Dr. Martin Luther King and his famous dream speech. And the fact that Andre has achieved such career milestones and success, he was invited to speak about it and shows that our society has made a lot of progress in human rights, but sadly there still are race, ethnic, and economic distinctions that keep society divided. Anyway, he's an amazing gentleman. His comics are but one of many of the tools he has for giving back to the community. He also helps set up college savings accounts and gain financial savvy, and some of the quick tips he shares on investing are having multiple streams of income, doing one's due diligence and being open to moving funds around to cut losses when necessary. He's really an amazing guy, and I think you're going to find this quite an amazing story. He's based in Wilmington, Delaware. His name, he really goes by Andre Henry, and he has a marvelous website. I'm going to give you the name of that. The fact is, if you want to look in at this right now, let me give it to you. It's called DreamAgainTheLegacy.com. DreamAgainTheLegacy.com. You'll be able to see what we're talking about when we talk about the comics and his artwork. Amazing, amazing stuff he does. Andre, it's such a pleasure to have you with us. How are you today?
I'm good, Doug. Thank you for having me today.
It's great to have you here, and I think it's great that you're taking the time to do so many different things. Let's talk a little bit about, number one, what your path in life, how it started out. I mean, unfortunately, you became an orphan at a very young age. What happened to you at that point? When you were 8 years old, did relatives take you in? Who started caring for you when you were a really little boy?
So when I was little, my grandmother and my grandfather took me in. At first, we were like bouncing around relatives and friends' homes until everything got sorted. It was about several months. Me and my brothers and sisters was just moving around. My mother passed away during a major car accident. She actually got hit. It was like 12 vehicles, and then a truck rolled her over. She went out the passenger side window. It was just a painful point in my life. at that age, I only seen my father one time and had one conversation. So, you know, after that event happened, it really didn't tell us. We actually ended up seeing it on the news, and we saw my mother's friend Lisa's car, and then my aunt Mary pretty much told us, you know, my mother was involved in that accident, and we wouldn't be going back home. Pretty much shut down at that point. I stopped talking for like a year. Only talked.
Wow.
It was like minimum words. Like I barely got out sentences. Like at school and everything, I shut down completely.
That's a pretty tragic story. You know, it's just, and obviously you had a father that wasn't really in the house with you at the time, right? You only saw him once. That's it.
Yeah, I only seen him one time. And my mother, we were going to the supermarket, and we were just going to go get groceries. And I saw him. We looked at each other, and he didn't even say nothing. That was like our interaction. That's the only thing that I – that's the only experience I have with my father.
That's such a shame. It's such a shame. But it's not unusual, I guess, in this day and age. So let's take a look at your path, because you really have managed to overcome some great obstacles and really do some wonderful things, you know, for your family. I'm sure your siblings. How did you do this? Number one, you obviously went into investing and teaching people about finance and how to handle money. Explain all of that to me. How did that happen?
So pretty much the investment side pretty much come from when I was syndicating corporate loans at J.P. Morgan. Picked up the skill set. I was just trading securities from up New York. I started reading more books on like day trading, swing trading, and just investing long term in general. Once I did that, being at J.P. Morgan, I picked up more of like an entrepreneur side, and then I got into being a brand ambassador for Dame and John. I'm a part of the Shark Group, so it pretty much helped enhance my entrepreneur side. My journey, like in trading, I started learning about different tax-free accounts because I'm an accountant by trade. Since 2013, I pretty much was doing my own taxes, so I just was reading a bunch of books, building up my knowledge base there. So when I go into investments in general, I just try to look at it from a tax-free perspective. Over the time, just learning these different tax-free money market accounts, you know, day trading, things like that, using business expenditures to offset my gains. I reached out to Backers 529 just so we can just see what their criteria was, like what they was building off of. They use pretty much Vanguard funds. If you're not familiar, Vanguard pretty much has the best funds in terms of long-term indexing.
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much solidified, made my own fund there to help undervalued communities because I look to give back. So, like, all families that even visit my site, you'll just get a $29 gift from me from the Dream Again Fund. I set up that partnership and affiliate also with Lively for, like, HSA accounts. If you got a family, you can deduct $7,200 off your adjusted gross income a year. So I pretty much, you know, just leaned into these tax-free accounts, setting up like the Roth IRA, maxing out my 401k, so I can be able to roll it over and invest in individual stocks to get a greater return. That's pretty much how I got in there. You know, just being at J.P. Morgan is a lot of restrictions because we're dealing with the securities. We're close up and we get to see the activity in the market. I decided to leave that industry and contract at the energy companies just so I can, do more because it was like I only could purchase one property. Prior to having my first son, I purchased that property, got a decent interest rate, like the threes, you know, like everything, like historically is like 4, 5, 6%. So I got historical low interest rates on my properties when I did my refinances and stuff. They appreciated it at good levels. You know, I try to find good school areas and things like that. Because, you know, Everything, yeah, everyday life is pretty much financials, you know, it's your habits. So I tend to watch those, and I help other individuals, you know, see their personal setup, you know, just by like tracking their expenses and stuff like that. But I was able to build up a good amount of tax clients. I got over 300 just teaching them these different accounts and just like how to save in taxes on an annual basis.
Well, I think that's remarkable that you've done that. Obviously, we skipped your education. You obviously went to school, college, am I right?
Yep. I went to Delaware State University and finished at Wilmington University. I started off as a dual major in accounting and finance. Once I learned a good deal in accounting, I pretty much dropped the major. It's crazy because I still do corporate contracts. All my stuff right now is in accounting. But I finished up with business and finance at Wilmington University because after learning like the basics of accounting and just picking up like the heavy classes like cost accounting, and I pretty much, you know, look at things from like that business viewpoint, like how can we finance things to get income generated to, you know, reinvest and create other strands of income.
Well, you know, this is covered very, very thoroughly and very, very impressively in your website where you have your financial freedom section. The website, by the way, again, is dreamagainthelegacy.com, where you find out about your financial acumen and what you're doing to help other people. I mean, you do taxes for other people as well. You teach them finances. It's pretty remarkable. What was it that fostered your interest in accounting as a youngster? Was it your grandparents who were pushing you for that? How did that happen?
So when I was younger, I had a hard time reading. That's why I started the silent comic book series. So math was pretty, I always had a stronghold on math. I never, like, I was in illiterate classes till like 10th grade, like only had not only normal subject and like I was up to par after moving out of Chester after my mother died, was math. Like always understood numbers. So I know people don't like numbers. So I was like, you know, I'm going to be an accounting major because I like numbers, accounting. And I actually, the Daniels family pretty much does. To help me, like, even understand what college was after my senior year of high school. And Uncle Matt was an accountant, and I just saw his life and how it was pretty much set up. And he pretty much, you know, take care of his family. He got, like, that ideal, you know, Uncle Phil life, if you've seen Fresh Prince. So, I wanted that. I wanted that, and it influenced me to you know, go into that accounting field. And then finance, I picked up the extra major. My roommate was Neil Shah, and he always pushed me to go forward. He was Indian. And we used to, like, you know, trade notes and stuff like that. And he was like, you should pick up finance. And I was like, yeah, why not? And then it got me into both of those fields. So I feel like the underlying factor was just, you know, networking and meeting those individuals to help me grow and expand.
Well, I'm telling you, it's pretty remarkable what you've done. And then you ended up writing your first book. At what point did you write this book? I mean, the book, and tell me about the book. The title was From Orphan to Self-Made Millionaire. What were you covering in that book? Well, obviously, it was your story, right?
Yeah, pretty much my story and then how I even got to the pathway to even establish Dream Again. It just talks about, you know, the traumatic events that happened in my life. You know, I believe in, you know, people can turn their pain into purpose. So that's why it's the 10 Irrefutable Laws of Purpose. So it's just like key points in my life that help trigger me to identify my purpose and keep striving to be, you know, for a greater success.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your comics. You have what you call them, the first silent comics, and explain what that means. What is a silent comic?
Oh, so a silent
we're talking about comic books.
Means,
we're talking about
comic books. So like the first silent comic series. You know, when I was younger, you know, in my environment, you know, I come from Section 8, Chester, PA. You know, kids have a hard time reading. I had a hard time reading. Like, I used to get comic books, you know, like all the Marvels, the DCs, and I used to just flip through the pages and look at the images because I had a hard time reading. I didn't really get the text. So I decided to, you know, what if I started the first silent comic book series where there's no words, you know, you just use the illustrations to pretty much, you know, use your imagination to tell a story, like you tell yourself a story. You know, it takes that pressure off for those individuals that do struggle with reading and give them a home to, you know, just enjoy art for what it is, you know.
Well, you know, it's described as Dream Again Comics, the first silent comic series to display imagery to tell the problems of the world's culture divide and how peace and harmony has been disrupted by evil and destruction. And the purpose of the comic is to help those from undervalued communities with reading problems. And it's for one to enjoy art without being judged of inability to read at any age. That's quite a remarkable statement, and it's a remarkable goal. The artwork is pretty spectacular, and it's you. You've done that, correct?
So I pretty much like sketched the images, but I hired Alisa Haynes. She's my illustrator. We pretty much partner together, and she you know, we go deep detail, like storyline. We get the images out. Like that first book was like 104 pages. We got pretty much four series. That's it's going to be four total series within this book. So we're working on Six Barrels now. So yeah, it's pretty much me and my team. You know, I give people the credit. You know, Lisa Haynes, she's done a remarkable job. Just, you know, with the art, we got 3D. We're building like 3D characters and everything now, because we got like a gaming portion as well.
Well, that's right. I mean, on the cover of the book, you're credited as the storyteller, and Lisa is the illustrator. Now, these, even though there are no words in there, there is a story. I guess you follow the pictures, and you know, you use your own mind to come up with what may be being said by the characters. But there is a story in these, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a story and a plot. So you're pretty much going to just take the words out and pretty much try to understand what's being told through the storytelling. You know, once you look at the images, you can see, like, it's a fight, it's a showdown, it's a division between the characters and the cultures. Just like MLK's, like, vision, you know, everything was together. So pretty much the gist of it is, like, everybody's together, and then, you know, Emperor Sin, which is our antagonist, he's pretty much wants things divided. It's a set of good teachers and a set of bad teachers. The good teachers and the good students want things together at peace and harmony, and the bad professors want things divided with corruption. It talks about, like, everyday. Six Barrels is going to go more in detail, like, the everyday, like, acts of violence, and how, like, all cultures are divided to pretty much, you know, through human rights, civil issues, it's all the different issues is within Six Barrels. And then it starts off with just, you know, everything being at peace and harmony, and then how things got corrupted. So it pretty much just tells, like, everyday life stories through imagery. And you use your imagination to pretty much tell yourself, like, wow, this is going on. And you'll be able to follow the characters and what's going on through the images.
Tell me a little bit about the reaction you've got. How long have you been doing these comics books, these books? Now, they're not, I mean, they're more than just little comics. They look like pretty substantial books. Are they? Or are they, I mean, it's more than just a thin comic book.
It's going to be like 100 pages per comic. Our goal is to get 400 pages out. I mean, we've been working on it and marketing it for the last 2-3 years. We got the first comic out last year, and the second one. We got one coming each year now. So we've been working on it. We just trying to get the full storyline out. So people's been keeping up with it, just keeping up with the imagery and stuff. And we're working on a
I was going to say it's called the Six Boroughs, right? The Six Boroughs, correct?
Six Boroughs is the book that's dropping at the end of this year. Contest of Dreamers is our first book that dropped last year.
Oh, okay. All right. So let me ask you about what Contest of Dreamers, what is that about? If, you know, if somebody goes through the story, what are they going to learn? What is it?
Contest of Dreamers just talks about, like, the – it's pretty much a King's Calling. So, you know, it's a black lion. I named the two main, like, characters after my sons. So King's Calling, he pretty much calls all the good kids. And he has, like, the professors are, like, icons of, like, each culture. Like, it's an eagle for Caucasian people. Indian got the elephant. Asian got a panda. So it's just showing you all the good professors. And it's, like, they are symbolized as, like, animals, but they're, like, in human form. The professors, and they're all under King, which is the black lion. The kids are pretty much the chosen six. So Contest of Dreamers is, like, out of all the kids within the land, is six chosen kids that, you know, that's going to help the fate of the world. With that being said, Emperor Sen, he's pretty much chained in bondage. He's a white tiger with black stripes. He pretty much get free, and he calls on six evil kids to stop these six good kids. And he has six bad professors. They're going to be introduced in Six Boroughs, and they pretty much, you know, start the corruption. But within Contest of Dreamers, Emperor Sen and King Pop have a fight, and then that fight decides the fate of humanity, if it's going to be good and peace or it's going to be evil and corruption. So in that first book, Contest of Dreamers, it's that showdown, the introduction of the good professors and the good kids, and then the showdown between good and evil to see who's going to conquer the land.
Well, there's a lot to this, and there's a lot behind it. The description is that the dream again has a deeper meaning. It's a reflection of your testimony of overcoming any obstacles in life with perseverance and with God. And one must truly believe in the Most High for the doors of their dreams to open. That's a little bit about the deeper background of what you're doing. This is quite a remarkable achievement. Did you? It says award winning. Have you gotten awards for the books?
Yeah, the Social Entrepreneur Award was issued to me up Canada for the book.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's absolutely great. I mean, you must be so proud of having achieved these various things. What can I tell you? It's just great that what you've overcome in life. You have deep reflection and unstoppable conviction and a lot of support from your mother's spirit. I know that's all part of it. What about your dreams? What happens now? Where do you go from here? You've been so successful so far. What do you want to do next?
I just want to continue to give back. I feel like a lot of individuals, especially now when we're like going into a recession. Well, we've been in a recession. We've been in a depression. But I just want to get back to those individuals, the underrepresented, and then those that don't have. Because I've been in that position before. I feel like in life, if you have an experience, it's hard to understand. And I feel like I experienced every aspect of life. I feel like I understand individuals deeply, like just seeing what they're going through. And, you know, I talk to people some days and see that they stuck in a realm or a mindset. You know, I just want to help them, you know, uncover, you know, the better person in themselves. So, you know, being from where I'm from, there's a lot of individuals that think they're stuck there. And I just want to show them that, you know, I want to be an example, and I'm not an athlete and I'm not a rapper. You know, I'm somebody that did something else. So I just want to be that individual to show people that those aren't the only routes in life.
I love that. You're not a rapper and you're not an athlete, but still you're very, very successful. And, you know, the other thing is you're helping devalued individuals, as you put it, in communities. Tell me a little bit more about that effort and some of the programs that you've established, such as the low-cost 529 college savings plan that you start for families. I mean, that's got to be a big help to them. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so like with the 529 plan, you know, it got 300% growth rate. So, you know, individuals that, you know, contribute $100, $1,000, whatever they can, even if they, you know, I just try to help them build good habits of just saving. And, you know, if you got a kid, I mean, if you become selfless, you know, it becomes about the kid. So I feel like that's just a good starting point, helping you build something that's going to grow 300% and, you know, the Vanguard index funds. I got courses just teaching individuals about these tax-free accounts and how to save. I started multiple chat rooms where it's over 1,000 individuals just teaching them different outlooks, just giving my opinion on the market, how I look at it, and then just teaching people just about dividend stocks, teaching them about, you know, starting a business so they can, you know, offset, you know, write off their expenditures, because financial literacy is not really taught. And, I'm proud that I got the Who's Who's in America Financial Literacy Award this year because it's just something I'm passionate about and something that individuals need to know. So I just feel like taxes, learning the stock market, the different money market accounts, the HSAs, the 529, the life insurance policies, learning the different interest rates when you're buying properties, I feel like that's important and key to, success. It takes discipline and, you know, having the right habits, but it's better than having, you know, like that 1.6 trillion spending power in my community. I feel like if we focused on these avenues, then it would change, you know, what it looked like when we go outside. So I feel like that's important to bring the people in attention.
I think you're doing such good things. For anybody who's listening who really wants to say, look, I'd like to take advantage of some of what he's doing, and when I say, yeah, I mean you, to help people, what do you encourage them to do? If they go to your website, can they get in touch with you through that? Is that the best method?
Yeah, because I believe, like, I'm not one of those teachers that charge you $10,000 a course, you know. I'm always going to have, like, fair prices and stuff like that. So I feel like, you know, financial, like, that $10,000 can change your financial background. So you should start investing in those accounts that I said. But I got podcasts. If you get on the podcast, it's called The Dat. You can listen to all my tax and financial advice. You know, that's free. I got, like, a YouTube video talking about, like, just private equity and just building up trust and things of that nature to, you know, roll assets under. You could just do the contact me on a website and send a message to me. You know, as an accountant and a financial teacher, I feel like everybody's setup is different. So I just try to have that conversation with each individual. You can book a meeting on my calendar. That get everything started. And then it's courses available for purchase that teach you different indicators, how to day trade, just how to build long-term chart strategies, and just how to evaluate stocks or the tax-free accounts as well.
What a wealth of information you're willing to provide to other people. Andre, it's just been great talking to you. Our guest has been Andre Henry. His website, again, is the best one to go to, is dreamagainthelegacy.com. dreamagainthelegacy.com, and go to there, look at the artwork, look at the books, the comic books, and then it'll also explain all the financial things he can do for you. And that's the best way to get in touch. Andre, this has been fascinating talk to you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to help us understand what a marvelous job you're doing. Okay? We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug. I really appreciate you for taking the time out. I know you're a busy man, so I appreciate it.
Not too busy to talk to someone like you. Thank you so much, Andre. It's been great.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
We certainly do, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Until then, take care and bye for now.